Why? I mean, they just had a scandal in the United States with what do you call it? They had a scandal in the United States with the guy who went to the East Coast. They sent him to the West Coast because he was molesting people on the East Coast. And then on the West Coast, they were upset because, why are you sending your molesters here? And this one's molesting that one. They've been molesting people for years. Now, when I was growing up, I remember hearing John Cardinal Cody. John Cardinal Cody was the chief cardinal of Chicago. Hush of a guy. John Cardinal Cody was promised that he was the chief cardinal of Chicago. He had a massive, what do you call it? He had a big church there. And he was John Cardinal. John Cardinal Cody died. And they found after he died, he had a housekeeper. Right? About 22, blonde. You know, that was John Cardinal Cody's housekeeper. And then the scandal broke. And John Cardinal Cody apparently had trouble with Nagia. Right? Okay, you know, that's going to happen, right? This is not recommended. This is not the policy. This is how it's supposed to be. Ben Azai was an exception. Right? We don't say, unlike the Catholic Church, we don't say that it is inherently evil because it was triggered by the tree, by man's original sin, and the ideal existence would be to a celibacy and abstinence. We don't say that at all. To the contrary, the first mitzvah in the Torah is pur rebu. First, it's to be fruitful and multiply. Anyway, it's never been an ideal to be abstinent. Why was Ben Azai abstinent? See, if you understand, first of all, how come nobody else was? They were Tanoim. Why is only Ben Azai? The answer is, he's the only one. Ben Azai is the only one who we find, if you understand it on a dispensation level, so they gave him a dispensation because he has actually every moment of his life he was immersed in Torah. But it's much deeper than that. Do you know what the study of Torah is called? Das. Study of Torah is called knowledge. Das. Right? The study of Torah is das. Das is knowledge. Right? In Torah you find, there are more siddurim over here in the thing. More siddurim over here. In Torah you find that intimacy is called das. Intimacy is called Vayeda Adam Estava Ishto. Man knew, he knew his wife. It's called Das. That means at a certain level, there's a similar, it's the same source. The Kedusha that one could achieve in Torah, and the source of reproduction, is a mental, there's some sort of, it's not simply a physiological function. It's called Das. It's called, hold for one moment, it's called Das. At a certain point, if one channels fully his das into something else, then it's not a question of not getting married because he doesn't want to. It's a question of not getting married because he is unable to. He is unable to because if his das is so fully functioning on a Torah level, then he's not got the capability of being able to reproduce. You have to think about what I'm saying. If you understand what... He can't. His mind is so... His mind is so focused on Torah, he can't physiologically reproduce. He can't. He's not capable of getting married. And that because his mind is taking up whatever that energy is that would be used in that direction, that energy at that level... And remember, we only find one person in history. We only find a Ben Azai, who's so focused on Torah that there's no room left for any other focus. Right?
One second.
That's why Ben Azai didn't give it. Yeah, good.
You could say that about the filling too.
Right, you could, but we don't. Because the only time you find that is in Torah. And you don't find one exception all through history, you'll find it's Ben Azai.
Yeah,
right,
why should there be an exception in history? It's like the whole idea of Judaism, like, was to do the action, rather than not the whole.
What would you say about somebody who has got a medical illness? Where, as a result of medical illness, he's not capable of getting married.
But then the halacha is that he doesn't have to. But
right.
The halacha isn't that if you're.
But somebody who is not able to
think about it really hard, then you won't.
Somebody who's not able to consummate his marriage, right? So then he cannot be married.
But why is that a high level? Why would it?
I didn't say it was a high. I said Ben Azai was Ben Azai's mind was so focused on Torah to the point that. First of all, there's a concept of ha'osek b'mitzvah patur min ha'mitzvah. When you're involved in one mitzvah, you're engaged in one mitzvah, you're exempt from another mitzvah. If he was engaged in the mitzvah 24 hours a day, round the clock, theoretically, he's exempt from the other mitzvah.
You can staff the mitzvah of learning Torah as one of the mitzvahs you can.
You could.
Have the staff to actually do the mitzvah.
You could, but if either he's involved in it 24 hours a day, or he cannot help himself by being involved in Torah and his mind is so consumed with Torah that it's beyond his capability, then he would be exempt from the mitzvah.
He is tired to do any mitzvah, the big mitzvah.
So there are two answers to your question. Either he's not capable of it because he is so consumed with Torah, he's simply not capable of it, number one. That's one possibility. Do you agree? Let's say, do we agree?
If he's so consumed with Torah, this is Torah,
It's not telling him.
Let's say, as a result of being immersed in Torah, he's physiologically unable to produce children. Would you agree? Does such a possibility exist, first of all? Let's go to the beginning. Just as it possibly exists. They're telling us about Ben Azai. They're telling us about Ben Azai that it did. They're telling us about Ben Azai that such a possibility existed.
You're too involved in the study of mitzvahs to do mitzvahs.
Correct. That's why we don't find too many people like that in history. There was, and it took it Ben Azai. It was only Ben Azai. There's one opinion that he got married to Rabbi Kiva's daughter and then they got divorced. There's one opinion he actually married Rabbi Kiva's daughter and they got divorced. And again, you're going to find the same reason there. So it's either he got married, or he got divorced, or he didn't get married at all. But at the end of the day, if a person is in a frame of mind where he cannot, he actually can't get, it's been drowned by Torah, so to speak. I know that's my expression. It's not the word expression. You could actually get to the point where it's not capable. He cannot separate from it, and therefore is unable to do the other. Right. So Ben Azai, it says Nafshi Choshka b'Torah. Okay, that's what it goes. Either that, or if you want a simpler explanation, I'll give you a simpler explanation would be, this is the straightforward, what I'm telling you is a much deeper explanation. The simpler explanation is that Ben Azai was granted by the Sanhedrin of his era, he was granted a dispensation. Because he was 24 hours a day Torah, and he was whatever somebody else would produce in physical children, he was producing through Torah. And therefore it took the Sanhedrin of it. That's a straightforward explanation. Straightforward explanation is he was granted a dispensation. Why could they grant the dispensation? Because the Sanhedrin can grant the dispensation. We don't find it anybody else giving that dispensation.
So that's halakhically.
Halakhically, they can grant the dispensation. That's right. That's definitely the plain meaning. At a deeper level, I'm just telling you, at a deeper level, there's an approach that says that it wasn't a question of a dispensation as much as a question of a channeling of the energy somewhere else. The lesson for us is that for a person who is consumed, a person who is having trouble with the Yetzer Hara, where a person is having difficulty and challenges in this area, the more one immerses himself in Torah, the easier it is to defeat the Yetzer Hara. Part of it is because you're doing the mitzvah, but part of it is because it's actually a rechanneling of what at a certain level is the same energy. It's just if you're using the energy here, the energy is being taken up over here, it won't be used over here at a deeper level. Now, Ben Azai says the following. Who are you, Omer? Ben Azai Omer, have a rutz l'mitzvah kala, you must run to do an easy mitzvah, uboreach mino avera, and run away from avera. Is that window open? Have a rutz l'mitzvah kala, uboreach mino avera. Run to do a mitzvah and flee from sin. Now, we spoke about this once in the Chumash, that when a person has an idea, he has a chance to do a mitzvah, you got to run to the mitzvah, particularly an easy mitzvah. And the Mishnah is telling you, don't rake the mitzvahs. Right? If you have a mitzvah to do, don't think, well, this isn't that big a mitzvah, I'll pass on it. Right? You got a chance to do a mitzvah, run to do a mitzvah, even if it's what's called a mitzvah kala, an easy mitzvah. Uboreach min aver, you have to flee from sin. Now, what's the difference between running and fleeing? What's the difference between running and fleeing?
Running.
And right? And which one is faster? Where are you moving faster? When you flee or when you run? Yeah, no question about it. If they ever wanted to set new track records, if they would just release a leopard on the track, right? When they're running, the 3 minute mile, it would fall very quickly. You know, if you guys running, they always have a pace car. Ever see an Olympic runner, they have a pace car, right? A pace car is a big mistake, right? Get a pace leopard, Right? That would get everybody doing things faster. When you're running away, the adrenaline is pumping. Right? When the adrenaline is pumping, you're capable of far more. Right? Every rutzlah, you got to run to do a mitzvah. When there's an avera, you got to flee from the avera. Now, fleeing from the avera means, this is one of the mistakes people make. People get themselves in trouble, and they forget, they end up battling after it's too late. As soon as the avera begins, flee. Right? Now, flee means get out as fast as you can. Don't wait to debate it and decide and talk to her, and then see, and then the next thing you know, ooh, I got into trouble. Right? The minute she is anywhere in the vicinity, run away. Right? Always run away first. The first thing you do is you run away. We are not looking for tests in life. Right? And the first thing you must do, and this is very, very apropos for guys who are becoming balchuvas, guys are struggling, and there are girls that you know, or a former girlfriend, or a current girlfriend, or a this friend, or a that friend, all at the end of the day lead to Gehenna. And therefore, what you have to do is, the first thing to do is stay away from it. Don't get, and I've seen guys who have fallen over the years for the same reason. A girl is here, and the guy says, well, listen, I got to be polite and explain to her that now I'm showing her this, and showing her that, and showing her this, and showing her that. Next thing you know, he's doing avaris. Right? Don't explain anything to anybody. You have to worry about your own life. Run away from it. Just flee. Send back an email that says, sorry, I no longer exist. Right? That's all you got to do. You don't have to be polite. You don't have to worry about her feelings. Yeah, but what about her feelings? Don't worry about her feelings. Don't worry about her. Don't worry about her neshama. And don't worry about anything else. Worry about your neshama. And flee from the avera. When we talk about avera in general, avera means immorality. And there is no way to deal with these issues in life other than fleeing. It's too late when you're at a point of confrontation. So you know the Gemara says that if a man, if somebody's traveling, and he decides he's got two roads. One road leads, there's a regular road, he's at a crossroad. The other one leads you past an immoral part of town. And he walks past the immoral road. Right? There's an immoral section of town, the red light district. And he walks past that on that road, at the crossroads, he chooses to go that way so he can battle his Yetzirah, and he succeeds. He walks all the way down that street, and he keeps his eyes closed. He never picks up his eyes for a moment. You know what the Gemara says about such a person? He's a Rasha. He never did even sin. He kept his eyes closed the entire time. He's a Rasha. Do you know why? What'd you put yourself in a state of test for? Should have gone down the other road. You wouldn't have had that. Most of your tests in life begin way in advance of where you think they are. Your test isn't when you get to the beach, now should I keep my eyes closed? Your test was, I shouldn't have gone to anywhere near the beach. That was your test. When somebody comes in, hey, do you want to go down and get something to eat? Then you go downtown, next thing you know, wow, what a test. You know, I'm downtown, I'm being tested all over the place. And now I'm passing the test because I'm keeping my eyes closed. Right? You're not passing the test, you failed the test. Your test was when a guy said to you, do you want to go downtown and get something to eat? The answer is no. Right there was the test. Don't go downtown. Go to Meishorim. Right? All you got to do is go to Gula. Don't go downtown. There's a tavern. And don't even go to Gula. Stay in Har Samaya. That's also a test. Right? What you got to do is the test isn't over there. The test was over here. That's the test. Therefore, the mission says flee from the avera.
But to do complete tshuva, you have to be in the same situation and then act differently, right?
You can't
do complete tshuva.
It doesn't say put yourself in the same situation. So if the same situation arises, and you do it, then you walk away. If you're avoiding the situation, what you're saying is correct. That's what the Gemara gives. If the person is in the same situation as Shuvah, but you don't put yourself in the same situation. If you genuinely don't want to be in that situation again, and then God knows that if you were in that situation, you would walk away from it, that's also complete Shuvah. Now, if you're not looking to put yourself in the same situation. Now, look at the next part of the Mishnah. Shemitzvah goreris mitzvah, va'avera goreris avera. A mitzvah causes a mitzvah, and an avera drag, literally goreris means it drags in its wake an avera. And we're going to give you a couple of examples of that, and then look at the end of the video. Sheschar mitzvah, uschar avera, but the reward of a mitzvah is a mitzvah, the reward of avera is avera. I'll tell you something incredible. What does it mean first that a mitzvah, one mitzvah drags along another mitzvah? This is very, very practical. Do an easy mitzvah. What's an easy mitzvah? Go in a shul. Right? All right, it's hard to get out of bed. That I agree. That's never easy. Going to bed is never easy, and generally in life, going to sleep is much better than waking up. Waking up is almost always not good. Waking up, no matter what time of day, no matter where you've been sleeping, waking up is definitely not what it's cracked up to be. Right? Waking up is problematic. Going to sleep is much, much, much better. right, going to sleep, whether it's at night or after chult or whenever it is that you are in a shir, whenever you go, a person goes to sleep, going to sleep is generally much better than waking up. Waking up is one of the activities that what's your hobby? Waking up. No, that's not a hobby. Many people have hobbies to go. Sleeping is a hobby. You know, waking up is nobody's hobby, right? Nobody likes waking up. And when you wake up, you have to, you know, it takes you a little time, you know, till you really get your what do you call it, you know, till anybody can talk to you. You know, you wake up, you're not at your best when you've just woken up. I know some people who for 24 hours you can't talk to them, they've just woken up. So waking up is not a good thing. Now, let's say you wake up, but after you're up, then you're going to go to shul. What happens when you go to shul? You go to shul, and on your way to shul, you happen to help some little old lady cross the street. Right? See, because you went to do the mitzvah shul, then this little old lady needed help with her packages. Right? So you helped her with the packages. Then you get to shul, and you put on tefillin, and you put on a tzitzis, and you answer Amenei Shmei Rabba, and you also have to put money in the pushka. Right? And because you put money into pushka, some guy who's collecting for yeshiva saw you and says, hey, you look generous, can you give us money for the yeshiva? Right? So you give him money for the yeshiva. Right? You understand? And then one mitzvah leads to another mitzvah, none of which would have happened if you stayed in bed. Right? If a person goes to the base medrash and you start learning, and then you learn, and somebody else comes to ask you a question, and you learn with somebody else, and one learning, and hey, that was enjoyable, so you learn the next day. By nature, one mitzvah leads to another mitzvah. If you're standing in line in a bank, and the guy asks you if you can borrow your pen, and you lend him the pen, and next thing you know, somebody says, hey, do you mind if I borrow it? And the pen goes around the room, right? And it's all your pen that's writing out all those checks. One mitzvah, and it's your mitzvah, and then somebody finally keeps your pen because they thought the bank was giving it away. And they walk off with your pen, right? So now somebody else gets to do the mitzvah of returning lost objects. But one mitzvah leads to another mitzvah. By Avera, it's the same thing. One Avera leads to another Avera. You go into a restaurant, and you shouldn't be in that restaurant. We know it's a bad part of town. Then it turns out that the food is trash, and the waitress is even more trite. Next thing you know, one Avera is leading to another Avera. Mitzvah Avera grows. One Avera pulls another Avera. You meet an old friend and you start wasting time instead of talking, instead of learning, you start schmoozing, or because you're schmoozing, you're talking Lashon Hara, and after you speak Lashon Hara, you plan on robbing a bank and you go and rob a bank. Right? So one Avera leads to another. This is the way things work in life. That's the way it is. So one Avera leads to another. Mitzvah drags it. So that's why the Mitzvah says you should always run to do the Mitzvah. Because when you do one Mitzvah, you know what's going to happen? That Mitzvah is going to lead to another Mitzvah. That mitzvah is going to lead to another mitzvah. Number one. Number two, sheschar mitzvah, the reward of a mitzvah is a mitzvah. That means that God rewards your mitzvah. If you do a mitzvah, God's going to give you a reward. Hey, you did a mitzvah, you deserve an opportunity. So it works on a physical level. One thing just automatically leads to another. Not only that, God will reward you. You did one mitzvah, I'm going to give you another mitzvah to do. V'avera gereres avera. V'schar avera, avera. You did an avera? Okay, the reward of your avera is God will set you up to do another avera. He won't make you do it, but you're going to get opportunities other people don't get. Right? You're going to get opportunities to do averas other people don't get. You brought it on yourself. When I was growing up, I always found myself in situations where like being in a principal's office. Right, you know, why was I in the principal's office? All right, something flew out of my hand in the middle of class. You know, something like that, and actually hit the teeth. It wasn't my fault. I was throwing it. He got in the way, and I was trying to throw it across. Somehow or other, you end up in these situations. I remember always thinking to myself, almost any time I've been in hot water in my life, sitting there thinking to myself, I have an older brother who's a goody-goody. He was a family tzaddik, and I always remember thinking to myself, what would he do if he was in this situation? And unfortunately, the answer was always the same, which was, it would never be in a situation, right? So I had no idea, no way of knowing what he would do. Right? He got caught, yeah, what would he do if he got caught cheating on a test, right? Nothing. He would never get caught cheating on a test because people were always cheating off of him, right? That was, you know, by me, it wasn't quite like that. So, you know, some people are always in that situation. Some people are what I call halachically accident prone. Right? You ever hear people, you have friends, I'm sure that you've all had friends who are accident prone. Right? Oh yeah, you know, usually my friend Mike. Oh, he was accident prone. There's always one kid on the block who's always walking around with a bandage or a splint or a cast or something like that. And I was like, oh, he's accident prone. So what they call accident prone, we call a vildachaya. Right? He's accident prone. Right? Why is he accident prone? Well, his kid is always trying to jump from one ledge to another ledge. Right? Oop! Sometimes he makes it and sometimes he doesn't. He's always, when kids climb trees, he's always the highest one up. We got a kid in the neighborhood who's wearing a cast. Kid broke in my neighborhood, broke his arm. The day before his bar mitzvah. Bar mitzvah was on Sunday. For Shabbos, he broke his arm. How did he break his arm? Because it was in the playground. So the kid was, you know, they climb higher and higher and highest, right? So this kid, there's no surprise. This kid's always got a cast on something. And if he's not got a cast on one of his limbs, he's putting another kid in a cast, right? He's always there. He's accident prone. He's not accident prone. He's a bilbechaya, right? There's some people who are halachically accident prone. Some people are always wondering, oops, I don't remember if I benched or not. I don't remember if I benched. I don't remember, ooh, you know, I ate something, you know, uh-oh, it might have been trafe. Might have been? No. When it goes oink, right, that was trafe, right? Yeah, it might have, but I thought it was chocolate. Oh, you thought it was, how come some people are always finding themselves, oi, it's 5 minutes before Shabbos and I got to drive 45 minutes home. How did you end up in that situation? If it's not important enough to you, so you're always going to end up in that situation. Some people are never in that situation. Some people are always in that situation. They are halachically accident prone. A person does an avera. You did an avera. I could give you opportunities tomorrow. People are finding opportunities. You know why you got that opportunity now? Be mechallel Shabbos because you don't care about Shabbos. They just had in New York. They have those, what are those cable cars? What are they called? The tram in New York. They got these trams. Yeah, anybody? Aren't any of you from New York?
Yeah.
No, they have these trams. You know what the trams are? What are they?
Yeah, the tram.
So these tram cars on the last Yom Kippur page. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
They got these trams that go from where to where? I guess they're the new ones. They put about 50 people on a car. So there's a couple of one of the trams got stuck. He got stuck in the whole thing. The electricity went off. The tram got stuck in the air. And it was Erev Pesach. They didn't get the pay. And it turned out there's a frum guy with his kids with one of the trams. They ended up having Michal Yontif and getting them back home. And why? Because he went out on Erev Yontif. He went out. And the guy himself wrote a letter to the newspaper saying, now I understand how important, how careful one has to be. He figured it wouldn't be a problem. They'd go and take the kids for a ride in Erev Yontif. They got stuck in traffic. Then it lasted even longer until they finally got them. Who would expect a tram to get stuck in the middle of the air? And it did. There's some people are always in that situation. Some people are never in that situation. So Avera Gerer's Avera. You started up with Averas. So now you're going to end up doing another Avera. The other Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to present you with the opportunity to do more. Other people don't need that opportunity. They don't deserve to have. Why should I be in a situation where I didn't do Averas before? Why should I be tested like that? You don't care, so you got tested. And therefore, a person, Schar Avera, Avera. Number one. Number two, tell you an incredible idea. Schar Mitzvah, Mitzvah. Now listen very carefully. The reward for a mitzvah is a mitzvah. That means like this. When you do a mitzvah, you get reward. Right? Now, when you're rewarded, what are we told about the nature of God, the essence of God? We only know one thing about God, which is what? God has told us one thing about His essence. The Ramchal says in Derech Hashem and all other places. What do we know about God? The most basic idea about God is what? The essence of God. This is as much as a human being is capable of understanding about God is what? What's that? He's one. True. He's one. And He is what we call a Tov Umeitiv. God is good, and He bestows good. God is Tov Umeitiv. Okay? Now, since God is a Tov Umeitiv, God wants, so to speak, in God terms, God wants to bestow good on us. If you do a mitzvah, right? So now you get reward. By getting reward, what have you given God the opportunity to do? So to speak, you've given God the opportunity to reward you because you earned the reward, right? So now by giving God the opportunity to reward you, that itself is a mitzvah, right? Because you've given God a chance to reward you, right? So if you've given God a chance now to reward you, so that was a mitzvah. Now, if you've done a mitzvah, what do you get for that? You get more reward. But when you get more reward, what are you giving God a chance to do? To reward you, that's a mitzvah. Understand what he's saying? Schar mitzvah, mitzvah means what, really? That the reward for every mitzvah is eternal. The reward, because every time you do a mitzvah, you get reward. And every time you get reward, that itself is a mitzvah. And every time you do that mitzvah for having been rewarded, that itself gets reward. And now the second level degree of reward is a mitzvah. So you understand? So that it's absolutely eternal. You know what it's like to work for a mitzvah? You know, you can't imagine the rewards, right? There's a reward, and then there's more reward, and there's more reward. It's like playing, what's that game? Mario. Kids have a Game Boy. I forget the Game Boy. It makes you nervous. I get nauseous from it. Kids play the Game Boy. So I once took my kid's Game Boy. They had Mario on it. So I have Mario 1, Mario 2, Mario kidnaps somebody. Whatever Mario does over there, you know, eventually somebody falls in a fire. But so I took the Mario, and I play. You know, every once in a while I play it, and finally I did it. I finished. I won. I finished Mario. Right? All of a sudden I hear, whoop, 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 and it makes a sound. Next thing you know, something else opens up. And I said, what's this? And my kid says, that's level 2. What do you mean? How many levels are there? About 17, 18, I forget what. I said, you know, what's going on over here? You know, and the little kid in the house, he's already on level 9. You know, they're all looking at me. The big worry, Daddy finished level 1 of Mario. You know, but here I felt so good about myself. You know, it's very extreme life. Life is very, I felt so good that, you know, they're all laughing at me. Well, then, you know, whatever. And I'm looking at this, all of a sudden somebody else opens up. A new world opened up over there. Okay, I had no man, and I have no way, I have no access to that world until I get to the first world. You finish the first world, a new world opens up. It's a tremendous analogy for many things. Learning Torah is like that too. Just when I thought I knew what Torah is all about, all of a sudden, wow, Gemara. Tosfos. Whoa, I had no idea that such a thing existed. They didn't tell me about this in college, right? Wow, a new world, and a new world. Same thing when it comes to reward. Person gets to the world to come. The world to come is revelation, and then a revelation, and a revelation. It'd be an amusement park. Like, just when you think that one ride is good, then you get to another ride. You know there's a statement that Gemara says that the righteous have no rest in the world to come? Did you ever hear that? You thought the world to come. Right? You thought the world to come was like a Shabbos afternoon schluff. That's what you thought. Olam haba. No, you thought, no, Shabbos afternoon schluff is the world to come. Right? You know, nothing compares to that. You know, chult, horizontal, that is olam haba. Right? You know, and more and softer. That's all it is. Right? That's what you thought of. No. That's not what the word is. You said, what? So Shabbos is being olam haba. So if Shabbos is like this, so olam haba is a big quilt pillow, you know, a big feather pillow, right? A big bucket of chult, right? And a big bottle. That's all. No, it's not olam haba. The word says the tzaddikim have no rest in the world to come. Did you ever hear that statement? Tzaddikim have no rest in the world to come. What does that mean? You thought Olam Haba is a snooze. Tzaddikim have no rest in the world to come. What does that mean? What does that mean? Tzaddikim have no rest in the world to come. It means, imagine somebody going to an amusement park. And you go to one ride, right? And the ride was great. Then you go to another ride. The next ride is even better. The next ride is even better. The next ride is even better. They keep dropping you from a higher level, and you keep falling faster and almost getting killed each time even more. What could be a better ride than that? Now, each time you come closer to death without dying. Right? Is that what an amusement park is? Right? This one's faster and spins you more and gets you more nauseous and say, well, that's amazing. People come off a ride. That's amazing. A guy comes off a ride. Guy's doing something he wouldn't pay. It's amazing. Imagine being in an amusement park going from one thing to the other. There's no rest. In the world to come, the revelation that a person experiences, in other words, the world to come is eternal because God is eternal. So your knowledge of God is never ending. So in the world to come, a person can progress further levels and further levels and further levels and further levels. The more you progress in your knowledge of God, so at each other, wow, right? It keeps, you know, we were just watching the fireworks display the other night. They had on Yom HaTzvot. We went out to see the fireworks. It was, wow, that's amazing. You never get tired of it. Then the other one, wow, I'll be a Zionist, wow, you know, and this is the mom's yellow mamba, you know, here we are, you know, I'm crazy, don't tell anybody, you know, wow, you don't have to be any sort of, you don't have to have any affiliation, right? These things are exploding, and each time it explodes, just when you saw it, you can't take anymore, you can't even take anymore, and boom, more colors and more, right? That's what Olam Haba is. Olam Haba is a greater revelation, and a greater revelation, a greater understanding, and just when you thought, I'm saturated with it, boom, there's another explosion of understanding, which is depth and pleasure, which is the mitzvah, Gorer's mitzvah. That means every single mitzvah you do has an eternal reward, which keeps, like, it's perpetual. It's absolutely perpetual. That's what the Mefarshim say.
When you say no rest, you mean that it's tough to work towards...
No work. It's effortless. It's effortless, but it's effortless and it's like watching TV. It's like watching TV, but just all you're doing is watching it, and it just gets better and better and better and better. Every moment getting better. Just when you think it can't get any better, better, even better, even better. Right? That's what it means, no rest. They go from level to level in the world to come. Okay. One more mission. Who are you, Omer? Alti Bazachol Adam Alti Mathli Gachol. All right, this will have to wait till next time. Okay.